completely responsible for letting it drop. That bond, of course, was for 2 years. It has served in 7 years, Maria, another 7 years for Rachel. So we have served him altogether. So he had served him altogether for 14 years. And, you know, when he started serving, we know that Laban had flocks. Because after all, he met Rachel at the well when she was looking after the flocks. But apparently it was not a very large number of sheep and whatever else there was there, because he indicates that it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. So the number of animals under his care had really become much larger than what it was at the beginning. And this blessing, of course, had come from Jehovah. On the other hand, we also see that Jacob had done his part by faithful and industrious service. And we observed last week already that we see here a case that shows human responsibility as well as God's sovereignty. So we see God providing, but we have to do our part and our share. He cannot just sit in a chair and wait for God to do all the work. God uses people like you and me to accomplish his work. Instead of God has no hands but our hands. So, you know, he expects us to do our part. And so Jacob had done his part in working hard, but God ultimately had given the increase. And so now, having worked, you know, Jacob says, now when shall I provide for my own house also? So it's reasonable for Jacob. He's fulfilled his commitments to Laban, 7 years plus 7 years, 14 years, that he should now provide for his own family. And it is then that Laban again says, verse 31, what shall I give thee? Now the word give, kind of an interesting word. Laban never gives anything to anybody, really. You know, we see that. But he uses the word give. But Jacob did not wish that Laban give him anything at this particular time. What shall I give thee? Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. So listen what I have to say. This is what I suggest, you know, and then I will again serve you. So Jacob, it would seem certainly from the circumstances here, that he had learned that God would supply his needs. And that is a very important lesson for all of us to learn. Now in Philippians 4:19 we read, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we do see that God will provide our needs. There's a couple things there. You have to read Philippians 4:19 in its context. So again, we have to do our part. But also we realize that as God provides for our needs, that he does not necessarily provide for our wants. He provides for our needs. And there's sometimes a big difference between what we need and what we want. You know, how big a car ultimately do you need? All right? Or how big a house do you ultimately need to live in? You know, we buy houses that are very big. But do we need that big a house? Well, I like a big house. Well, you like it. But do you need it? So I'm not going to answer the questions, all right? So I'm just going to ask them for you to think about. But you know, how big a car do you need? How big a house do you need? So my God shall supply your needs. So that is well to keep in mind here. So here, Laban says, well, what do you want? I'll give it to you. And Jacob replies, don't give me anything. Alright? Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. But this is what I'm suggesting, verse 32. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So, as he passed, Jacob here then made the offer as far as the wages are concerned, and as he passed through Laban's flocks, he would remove three categories of animals. So first he says all the speckled and spotted cattle. Alright, you see that in verse 32, huh? All the speckled and spotted cattle. Now, it's interesting here because this is a general statement, alright? And then he says all the brown cattle among the sheep. So all the brown sheep. And in the Middle East, the sheep were usually white. Therefore, a brown sheep would be quite rare. There would not be many. And the third thing he says is the spotted and speckled among the goats. Now again, in the Middle East, the goats are normally dark brown or black. So the ones that Jacob mentioned would be very few in number. So as Jacob says this, Laban must have been quite happy, because he knew that he'd been working hard, he'd served him, he could have asked for a good percentage of the flock, you had such a small flock, now you have such a big flock, why don't you give me half of the increase, or something to that effect, but he didn't. He says, just take all the odd-colored ones. Those are the quite happy. So, and then as you go along with it, verse 33, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, but it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. So Jacob now also, as he goes on, spells out what the test of his honesty would be. So all you have to do is look at the flock, because you have the contrast in color there. So I'm asking for all the spotted and the speckled and the, the brown. So if there's among my flock any sheep that are white, you know that they don't belong to me. So it becomes very clear. You've got one color, you've got the other color. Majority would be white, very few would be brown or black, so that would be Jacob's. So if there was a wrong color, you would immediately know it. So that's why I say, here's a test of his honesty, just look at the flock, and you can tell by color whether it's a right or not. Now Laban agrees with this proposal, verse 34, and Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. So Laban agrees with Jacob's proposal, however, and there's a big thing there, if you look at verses 35 and 36, we see that Laban again deceives Jacob. Now I've already deceived him earlier. I want to marry your daughter Rachel. Oh yes, you can have her. And then after the marriage, he switched the two girls, Leah and Rachel. Oh, he wakes up in the morning and it gets light. And remember, he says, you're not Rachel, you're Leah. Well, don't you know, we have a rule in our country. The oldest one must get married first. Well, why didn't you tell me that before the wedding? Not after I spent the night with her. So you see there the deception. But now, there is further deception on the part of Laban. So Jacob says, give me all the off-colored ones. And look what he does, what Laban does in verse 35. And Laban, it says he, but that is Laban in the context. He removed that day the he-goats that were arranged straight and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep. And then, so he quickly went through the flock and said, all right, let's take all these that Jacob wants. Let's quickly take them, remove them from there. And he gave them into the hands of his sons. And he said, 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. So he said, quickly, move them far away. 3 days' journey. And now Jacob can go through there and he won't find any at all. So here, Jacob is supposed to be able to pick out some of these animals. But when he goes to look, they're all gone. They all went walkabout. Alright? So they all disappeared. So this is the second time, in a sense, that Laban cheated, deceived Jacob. Alright? So you see this, you know. So he sets the distance there. So Laban, undoubtedly helped by his sons, because he gave them into the hands of his sons, so they would have been in on the plot there and the plans there. And so he removed that day the he-goats that were arranged straight and all these. And then to make it quite impossible in the future for there to be any mixing, he gave these animals into the hands of his sons. He told them to keep at least 3 days' journey away from the rest of the animals, which the animals would be tended by Jacob. Arnold Furstenbaum here comments, although Laban entered into an agreement with Jacob that would provide Jacob with wages, Laban made sure that Jacob would have as difficult as possible a time achieving it. So, and that's why I say he again deceives Jacob. So instead of having flocks, well, he ends up having nothing. Alright? Now he starts with nothing. But we'll see if God blesses him. Alright? So we'll see how that works out. Well, notice the last part of verse 36. Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So Jacob fulfilled his part of the agreement. Laban failed to fulfill his part. Laban cheated. But Jacob continued to feed the rest of Laban's flock. So he continued to look after the flocks there. So you see that Jacob certainly here is honorable. You know, he's a man of integrity. He serves. This is the bargain that we had. This is the agreement, the contract. You know, and so he works there. But not Laban. Now it is then that we see, point number 6 here in your notes, that God prospers Jacob's flocks from verse 37 to the end of the chapter. And rather than reading through this verse by verse, I'm kind of giving you a summary here in the words of Arnold Schlussenbaum. Again, he quite nicely describes this, and so we'll read that. So what Jacob did to increase his flock was three things. So we need to be aware of this. You know, we read verse 37. Jacob took in rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white flakes in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. So he does the kind of work there. But the first thing he did was that he placed peeled streaked poles before the eyes of the animals at the time of breeding as a prenatal influence. That's verses 37 through 40. So, okay. And then the second thing that he does, he put all the multicolored animals born by the rods so that they would interbreed and produce more of their own kind. We see that in verse 40. Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flock toward the rain streak and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. So you see there that he separates and produce more of their own kind. And the third thing he does, he used prenatal measures with the strong animals and not with the weak ones, so that the multicolored corn would be the strong ones. And it came to pass, verse 41, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Now, there's something we have to realize here, huh? And Arnold Fuchtenbaum points this out. These were superstitious practices. So keep that in mind. This is, Morris here gives a long discussion on genetics and, you know, things like that, which I don't think is really necessary to go into. But the thing is that this is all local superstition at that time. So Jacob initially resorted to superstition, and he had accepted a popular theory in those days of prenatal influence that said that a vivid sight during conception or pregnancy would leave its mark on the embryo. So there's, you know, some thought there, you know, while they're conceiving, if they see bright things, then they will produce bright colored offspring. You know, that's all, well, superstition. All right? So, but that was the thought at that time. So that was what Jacob believed, and that's what he practiced. Because remember, we have a few years between Jacob and us today. You know, and the study of genetics and these kind of things has improved a little bit, you know, to say the least. So a lot of the things that we know today, they did not know back then. And so there was a lot of superstition. So, of course, what he eventually learned was that it was not the rod that produced it, but rather that it was God working a miracle. And this is, in a sense, we see that in chapter 31. We'll come to that chapter. But you see God working there. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest the vow unto me. You know, and so it was God, actually, that worked there. So while Jacob may have thought, you know, if I just cut all these stripes into, you know, the animals conceive in front of all the stripes, they produce striped or spotted offspring, you know, that is not the case. We know that all this comes from God. But notice that the man increased exceedingly. Verse 43. So God blessed Jacob. He started out with nothing. Because first Laban had agreed, yeah, you can take all these out. Then he quickly removed them all, tells his sons, go take him 3 days' journey away. So Jacob started with absolutely nothing. But God gave the increase. God blessed. And so the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle. And not only that, he also had maidservants and men servants and camels and asses or donkeys. So we see him becoming a very wealthy man. But it was God working here. All right, so that is God's working there, and Jacob being blessed by God, and God prospering Jacob's flock after we see that Jacob wants to leave Laban. But then Laban says, no, 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 it's not fair that you don't leave. You know, I want you to work for me. You know, because he knew that God had blessed him. And he says, well, name your wages. So Jacob named his wages, and God blessed him. You know, Laban must have thought, hey, that's a pretty good deal that I'm getting here. He wants all the odd ones out. There's very few of them, and even those he removed. You know, so he deceived Jacob. He thought he was getting a good deal. But now as you come to chapter 31, we see that Laban and his sons are displeased with Jacob's prosperity, and that the Lord encourages Jacob to leave in the first 13 verses here in chapter 31. Because if you see it, you know, he heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and all that was our father's has he gotten, all his glory. So they're not very happy. So by this time, Laban and his sons were becoming greatly concerned. So what had seemed like a very good contract, when Jacob first said, just give me all those, you know, at the time it seemed well for Jacob, but now it had made a surprising, and for Laban, a distressing turn, because he had not benefited as much as he thought he would, because God had blessed Jacob. So Jacob, of course, had kept his part of the bargain faithfully. He had worked hard. The flocks of Laban actually had increased. So there's no question there. God was still blessing Laban for Jacob's sake. But Laban himself, Jacob himself, you know, his flock did even better than Laban. So although Laban's flock increased, you know, pretty soon Jacob's had overtaken Laban's. So his flock was prospering, and theirs, Laban's, was suffering. All right? So Laban's sons in particular, they could see their inheritance slipping away from them. You know, here, our father, he's getting old. It's been estimated that at this point, Laban was probably about 90 years old. You know, so he was getting on in years. You know, you kind of figure out how old was his daughter, how long has he been serving, you know. And Laban, of course, the brother of Rebecca. So it's estimated probably about 90 years old at this time. So how much longer is he going to live? You know, the boy said, well, when dad dies, you know, what are we going to inherit? This Jacob is getting more and more and more and more. It looks like we're getting less and less, which was not true, because even their flocks were actually increasing in number. So God was still blessing there. But Jacob, all they could see is was Jacob having so much, and then their own father's flocks increasing just a little bit. So the brothers, you know, because the sons of Laban became very bitter, and basically they accused Jacob of a thieving appropriation of their father's wealth. You know, that which was our father's, has he gotten all his glory of that which was our father's? So he's benefited because of what our father had, and he's really, in a sense, taken that. He's supposed to be just looking after it. You know, my dad is supposed to pay them. But, you know, all these flocks, really, that they belong to our father and not to Jacob. So they were very, very unhappy. And Jacob noticed this. Jacob realized what Laban was thinking. You know, Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. You know, Jacob earlier had said, I'd like to go back to my own family. You know, I have to look to have a responsibility. In the previous chapter, verse 25, sent me away that I may go unto my own place and to my country. You know, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. So at that point that Laban says, no, I don't want you to go, because he had a hard worker, paid him very little, you know, then he makes the bargain. He says, oh, still, you know, working there, still gets very little. So he's, but now, when he sees how much God is blessing Jacob, and he himself is just increasing very little in wealth. Now he's like to get rid of Jacob, you know. If Jacob now would have said, you know, I want to go. But there's a lot of complications in there. Because if, you know, first of all, he was concerned, Laban, I've made this agreement with him, I can't just break it, so that would be one thing, although in the past that didn't worry him very much because he deceived Jacob a number of times. But he's still concerned. How can I get the flocks to stay here, you know, that I can have them for myself? You know, he's wondering, what can I do here? So Jacob, on the other hand, is also in a similar position. I've made this agreement with Laban. I've been serving him faithfully. I don't really want to break that contract that we have. So both of them realized there was a contract between them. Both of them said, well, we'd like to, you know, end the agreement. But both of them felt, well, we must continue. Yet Laban was very unhappy with Jacob. Jacob realized Laban was unhappy. So you get a lot of problems, you know, anticipating there and developing there. But the key thing that happens is that at this point, God again speaks to Jacob. You see that in verse 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So God tells him very clearly, you know, go back home. Return unto the land of thy fathers. For your families, I will be with you. Of course, we know that is a phrase that we see a number of times in the Bible. You know, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we see that promise that God has made. He, in a sense, says the same thing here. I will be with thee. So that is now a comfort to Jacob. You know, should I stay, should I leave? God says leave. So, in obedience to the Lord then, Jacob prepares to depart. But before he does so, he must really explain the situation to Leah and to Rachel. You know, it's kind of hard if he just says, let's go. Well, why should we go? So he needs to explain things. So Jacob then, in verse 4, sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. So he had to explain the things to them, because there was a possibility that if they did not understand the whole situation, that they would not want to leave their home. We grew up here, we've lived here all our life, you know, we've born all these children right here. Why should we live? We're happy with the way things are. So he needs to explain things to them. So, again, he doesn't really, Jacob doesn't really want Laban and, you know, Laban's sons to know about all this. So he actually calls them to the field unto his flock. So he doesn't tell them about it in the tents, but he says, come to the field. So this is kind of like, he might say, somewhat of a secret meeting that he's having with them, so he can explain things to them without chance of Laban or any of his sons or servants overhearing what is being said. So he calls them out, come to the field where he's keeping the flock, and it is there then that he told them that their father no longer fell towards him as he formerly did, because of his increasing prosperity. We see that in verse 5. He said unto them, you know, to Rachel and Leah, notice where Rachel is mentioned first, because she's the favorite, and he says, I see your father's countenance, your father's face. You know, it's changed, it's different. It is not toward me as before. Before he was quite happy with me, but now he's not happy with me anymore. But the God of my father has been with me. So he says, God has been with me. God has provided for me. So this is a wonderful thing there. So God has blessed him. God has increased him. And so as he talks them to the two wives, to Leah and Rachel, or Leah and Rachel and Leah, he says, the father, you know, his face is different. He's not happy with me anymore. Verse 7, your father has deceived me, so he knows it. And he says, and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. Now, we haven't been told about this, but he has now been serving 10 years, he says. Or the father has changed him 10 times the wages. It was not 10 years, it was 6 years. We're not told about this in the other accounts. But this is what happened, he says, verse 8. If, he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring streak shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring streak. So thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. So it was God who had worked there, and Laban kept changing the wages. That's why, you know, Laban, alright, gave him the wrong woman, you know, took all the things, all the animals that were promised to Jacob, took them away. And then, as God blessed, as he says here, you know, the cattle bear speckled, we'll give you all the speckled ones. Then, God gave many speckled ones. He said, okay, next year we'll do different. You know, we'll give you all the ring streak ones. So he kept changing the wages. And in 6 years, Jacob said he changed the wages 10 times. Can you imagine working for a boss that changes your wages all the time like that? You know, of course, if he gives you more pay, you probably wouldn't object. But, you know, if he's up and down and up and down, you know, that'd be life pretty difficult. So that's what happened. So Jacob explained, the newborn cattle all happened to correspond to the specification, his contract with Laban, you know, and all this, by the way, was shown to him in a dream. It came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. Now here again, remember, these had all been removed from the flock. So, but again, it was God working there, because the actual animals that made it were in the solid color flock that was belonging to Laban. So it was not that they had all these different colors there, but God knew, they might say today, their gene structure. And they knew, you know, genetics is an interesting study. When I was in the uni, I remember part of one of the courses I had taken, we had a unit on genetics, which was a very interesting unit, you know, as far as when you mix, you know, like all my children have brown eyes, even though I have blue eyes, because my wife has brown eyes, you know, brown is the dominant gene. So what is your dominant gene, you know, and how does it work, you know, and you see it in this sense. So it's quite interesting to have this kind of a study and see how these things work together. So God knew the gene structure, and he knew that even though the parents had a solid color, that the offspring that they would produce would be ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. So, all right. And God also revealed here, you know, and the angel of God spoke unto me, says Jacob, in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And the angel said, lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. So God revealed in this dream that the reason he has done this all was because of an awareness of what Laban was attempting to do to Jacob. Because God knows the heart. So God knew what Jacob was trying to do. And so God said, Laban is trying to cheat you, deceive you, so I will bless you. And so God provided the blessing for the animals. So God revealed all this as an awareness of what Jacob, of what Laban was attempting to do to Jacob. And then God also reminded Jacob that he had spoken to him at Bethel, and that was 20 years earlier. I am the God, verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And to go back to that vow, you have to go back to chapter 28. And we'll just look at the last three verses in the chapter where we see the actual vow. Of course, we did look at it already at that time. But Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So we see God making that promise. I will give you the tenth. You know, still we see the tithe coming in here. But he also says, this is God's house, the house of God, Beth-El. So it is there. So God had made Jacob had made that vow, and the Bible tells us if you make a vow to God, you'd better keep that vow. And so now the time had come, and for that is the time had come for Jacob to return to his family, and God told him, this is it. Now you return back unto the land of your kindred. And so that is what we see coming up next. So from here on then, he does go back to his family. But that we will look at the Lord willing next week. We'll stop here for today. So, but notice again, you know, God's working in hearts and lives. And again, you see the sovereignty of God at work. You know, here's Jacob. He has nothing. You know, he's been working hard. Well, I guess you couldn't quite say he has nothing. After all, he has, you know, 12 sons and a daughter. He's got two wives, you know, so he does have something. But property-wise, he has nothing. So, and he works for property, gets some flocks, and even then, Laban continues to deceive him, cheat him. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's what we see with Jacob, because God is for him, and God blessed him. And so he became, even in a relatively short time, 6 years, he became a very wealthy man. And that's the way God worked, the way God blessed. So thank God for his guiding direction and presence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we are able to consider this portion here in the book of Genesis, seeing especially, Father, how thou didst bless Jacob. Lord, as we see Laban deceiving Jacob, changing his wages, Lord, may that be an example that we do not follow, but help us to faithfully serve thee, just as Jacob faithfully served Laban, in spite of the difficulties and the problems that he had there. Yet, Father, he was faithful in what he did. May we too, Lord, be faithful in our service for thee. Now, Father, we also ask thee to bless our worship service to follow. may Christ be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.